WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim.
This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
This is Pat Patterson.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rap.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you dumb.
I'm a perky disco turkey because I love to dance. I know this may seem bizarre. It's the coolest.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. It is the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Spectacular. You're joining us for the first time. If you've never listened to the show, this is our Thanksgiving special, and we are coming to you semi-live from the WildTalkRadio.com studios. Not really. I'm on my couch right now doing this. If you don't know who I am, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host, Handyman Sir Rockin.
If you live in Canada, happy Thursday.
To the rest of the world, happy Thursday. To anybody in the United States that celebrates Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving.
Gobble, gobble.
Wobble, wobble. Because you have the gobble, gobble, then you wobble, wobble from the drink. Gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble. It's the Thanksgiving Day Spectacular. We are joining you semi-live from WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, Gerwick.net. We are brought to you by the awesome folks over at Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211. Follow the journey today. I think that's all the plugs, right?
That is all the plugs. Well, the first, the sponsor plugs. I have a whole bunch at the end of this podcast.
He has a huge plug at the end of the podcast.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I just... Anyway! We're doing a modified, more relaxed show because, well, we don't have a lot to talk about in terms of news. We do have, well, this little thing called NXT TakeOver that happened this weekend. And then, you know, just Survivor Series happened and... Well, I think we need to talk about that, don't you?
Yeah, we'll get into Survivor Series. We'll throw in a little SmackDown throwdown. And you mentioned NXT, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the NXT analyst, TJ Omega, on the show as well.
He's back!
In case you enjoyed him last week, now you get him again.
We can't get him every week.
We can't
Whenever
get him,
there's a takeover, we can get him.
We get him. We're going to probably get him eight times a year, because before and after. Maybe. So at least four times, at most eight times a year.
Hey! Because, you know, that's how we do it here on The Rack. We like to do it up professional.
And if there's someone who is professional, it's the dude who reviews toys.
We'll go with that. So anyway,
And plays with Legos.
Shh! We don't talk about that.
And collects Pokemon.
Well, I collect Pokemon. The released Mimic. Very excited. I have no idea what the thing is, but it's a purple blog that apparently shapeshifts. Very excited.
He was telling me that they actually now put out the regular video game, so he's done leaving the house again.
Aww. Well, no, because they released the new thing on the phone, so we'll see. Anyway.
Anyway.
We should probably quickly do the news brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, and Gerwig.net. And really, we only have a handful of stories. The biggest news is that Randy Orton's wife gave birth to a beautiful baby girl on Tuesday, so congratulations to Randy and Mrs. Randy. A job well done, I'm sure. Randy was obviously not on SmackDown Live. He did a pre-tape, which we'll get into. So congratulations to them.
Congratulations to Randy Orton, Father of the Year.
Hey.
No,
hey.
No, legit. We're going to talk about it later. He's a legit Father of the Year.
Stand up moment at Survivor Series. We'll get into that.
We'll get into that later, yeah.
And, well, the other news is something else got born. Wasn't a baby.
That's about 5 months from now.
That's about 5 months from now, which it may be on there, but Brie and Nikki Bella announced on their birthday that they are having their own YouTube channel.
Didn't we talk to the Bellas at one point?
I think we did.
Is it available on our website?
I think it is. If you go to RackRadioShow.com or WildTalkRadio.com, you can listen to our interview with Brie and Nikki Bella.
You know, just saying.
Because we are going to plug that till we die.
Damn Skippy.
Because we worked hard for that interview.
We worked very hard for that one. All right, so they launched a YouTube channel. And, well, they played a little video, and we're going to take a listen to that right now.
So Brian and I are here at the Botanical Gardens called Q.
The Kew Royal Botanical Gardens.
That's right, here in London, and we are sitting and just enjoying the change of the leaves, all the trees. We literally just did a treetop walk. Mm. That was a little scary, I'll admit.
She was scared.
Yeah, well, it felt like it wasn't... I mean, it was safe, but...
I've never been afraid of anything in my life.
Yes, he has. He was actually a little scared. But we're sitting here on a bench amongst all the trees, and we are starting to think of baby names. Now, the thing is, it's a little hard for us because Brian asked if we could do all bees because his whole family is all bees.
Betty, Buddy, Billy, Brian.
Mm-hmm. I happen to be a bee.
I married somebody with a bee.
So he asked if we could have our kids be a bee.
Bee.
And Brian doesn't ask for a lot, so I figured he doesn't. I figured that I could go with this and keep the tradition going of bees. So, saying that, we need help with some bee names. We've kind of thought of some.
Our number one right now is Bertha.
No, it's not Bertha. It's not. Branch. Basil. Bertha. No. Branch. Basil. Birdie. Brayden.
Bertha.
No, what else have we thought about?
We also are thinking that the middle name is going to be Tout.
It's not going to be Tout.
Bertha Tout Danielson.
Enough with Tout. It's never coming back.
Are you kidding me?
It's not making a comeback.
What,
ever.
The Vine is done, and it's cleared way for Tout. This has turned into a whole nother video.
So anyways, what other bee names? There's Beanie. Brian said Beanie earlier.
Bertha?
No.
She's going to be so good at judo.
It kills me. Bridget's cute. I don't know. Maybe you guys can help us out. We already have the middle name, which we're not going to tell yet. Brian. Okay. Well, we're going to go and walk amongst the trees and enjoy our rest of our chilly day. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Bye.
Brian wants to name his kid Bertha Tout Danielson. What the hell?
Personally, I'm partial to Brody.
I know you are partial to Brody.
I think Brody is an excellent baby name.
He will not let Tout die. He's the only one.
It's because he's so against social media.
But he had a valid point. Vine's going away. So, Tout.
Tout is never coming back. Please, God. God, I remember the push for Tout. I remember it so bad. Every week, Tout, 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 Tout. And then it just slowly died.
They invested in Tout.
And it died.
Not everything.
Because nobody used it.
No one used it. Because, well, they got celebrities on board right away. And everyone, there was like a thing for a week or two. And then I was like, what the hell's a Tout? Can I go on my Twitter? No, it doesn't really work with the Twitter. Why the hell am I going to use it? So, everyone gave up on Tout. We never had Tout.
Yeah, I never had a Tout.
So, sorry people, if you wanted to see the Rack Radio Show Tout, it doesn't exist. But we have an Instagram that never gets used, but it's Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show. Told you when I started, it'd be like 3 weeks. But still follow it. I may use it at some point.
You realize you can use it to put stuff out, right? On the social medias.
I do, but then it's... I create all this stuff on the computer, so then I have to upload it and download it, and it's easier to just do it the way I do it. I can give you the Instagram.
You could.
There we go. Lindsay's now going to be in charge of her Instagram, Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show, and once this show's over, she's going to say no to me, but you heard it. She'll take it over. It's official. It's recorded. So starting next week, Lindsay's going to be Instagramming for you from Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show.
I'll manage it as well as I manage our Twitter.
I manage our Twitter better than you manage our Twitter. And I don't have access to our Twitter. Anyway.
You do. You have the password.
So, anyway, follow us on the social medias. Rack Radio Show on everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except Tout.
Except Tout, because we're not on Tout. But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you think?
Let's do that.
So, when we come back, we are going to be talking all things NXT TakeOver, and we will be joined by the one, the only, TJ Omega. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Where we have a turkey to eat. There's pumpkin pie, there's stuffing, oh my, and the people that I love are near. Shake your left hand, gobble, shake your right hand, gobble, shake your tail now, gobble, gobble, gobble. Shake your left foot, gobble, shake your right foot, gobble, shake your tail now, gobble, gobble.
And the votes are in.
All right, the voting is officially ended.
How many votes was there?
There were 912 votes.
Wow. That's the second to last vote. 911 was you, sub. That's a lot of fucking votes.
Thank you very much.
Actually, wait, no.
We almost got as many as Matt Hardy.
Wait, no, 913. I refreshed it at the end.
One good thing about this, no matter what happens and who wins, you're going to have all of us on the cabinet. Because one way or the other, we're going to be wins.
I don't think Rob chose a single one of us, did he?
No, he didn't.
What a mess.
What? No, I picked Rob.
Yeah, he picked me.
Yeah, he picked Rock, the moderator. Right? He's the producer who doesn't produce anything. Come on now.
He hasn't said a bad thing about me all the time. He's been very polite.
That's because he doesn't seem like he's neutral. He's Switzerland for a reason, and you're rewarding Switzerland.
Hey, I like the chocolate.
Coming in fourth place with 4% of the vote.
Wait, what?
Jobber.
Coming in at fourth place with 4% of the vote
was candidate Subway making getting high great again.
What? I was last? Oh, this is fucking... I'm going to go burn something. How the hell did Rob get above me? Rob didn't even kill on Facebook.
Now, we have a tie for second place.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Really?
But in the tie, because percentage-wise, one person has two more votes than the other, but you're still in the same percentage.
Damn, that's close.
So coming in at third is Ace.
Yes!
Whoa!
Woo!
Holy God, I'm shocked. I bet you, yeah, I know what happened. I swear to God, if Rob won, everybody hit in his name by mistake when they were supposed to be hitting my name.
Or my name was right above them, no?
Is it a couple of my times name. When I went to go vote for me, I accidentally clicked on Jobber? That was so pissed.
So which means the president of the CB Radio Party is... the Lone Jobber.
Woohoo!
Alright, so it boiled down to Jobber had 40% of the vote.
Holy fuck!
Rob's been in third place the entire time and pulled ahead tonight at the very end. It was boiled down to 257 votes for Rob, 255 for Ace. Both had 28% of the vote.
Wow! How many did Jobber have?
366.
Jesus.
Fucking nobody voted for me.
You know what? Thank you all. It proves that trying does matter.
Check out the entire CB Radio Party election fun at cbradiolive.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Who knew you'd be hated for being who you are? And be a big target for all the insecure.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And also thank you so much for tuning in at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com. This is the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving Turkey Day Spectacular, whatever you want to call it. But we are back. You're talking NXT, and joining us, as promised, is the NXT analyst of the Wild Talk Radio Network, TJ Omega.
Always good to get to talk some yellow brand.
Right? And we need to talk about the yellow brand, because...
Oh, we do.
Takeover happened this past Saturday. Holy Jesus. Holy Jesus.
We had choirs, we had orchestras, we had...
Cages.
Which are toys. Great promotion for a toy.
We had flirting. This was top to bottom a great, great show.
Yeah,
NXT delivers.
Yeah, they delivered on Saturday night with NXT TakeOver. You just look at the show. There was one match on the entire show that was like, but the rest were outstanding.
Yeah.
So, you said Omega's the analyst, so is he Mauro Ranallo or Lita?
I think he's Mauro Ranallo.
Thank you.
I like to point out he brought it up.
Or is he...
I know what he's doing.
I would never call you Lita to your face.
Thanks.
But behind your back...
All the time.
You know, Omega just whores himself out there at TJ Omega on YouTube and Twitter and reviews on Facebook, all that stuff. He just whores himself out everywhere.
One brain. One side thinks that the other side says it.
So should we get into the show?
Or do I agree to this? Sure.
NXT TakeOver Toronto. First, let's talk about the set. It was an interesting set because it was basically the Monday Night Raw set with the NXT lights.
Don't judge.
I'm not judging. I'm just talking. Because that's what it basically was.
Well, it was the same building as Survivor Series, right?
Yep. And Raw.
So, they're not going to break down, or they're not going to have three different sets.
No, they built the set and just said, hey, we're just going to throw the NXT lights in there and said, go TakeOver. But it worked. But the show opened with a choir. Singing glorious.
This needs to happen every week.
God, if they could afford it every week. They could, but would. That's a different story.
And shouldn't there be some sort of glorious bomb that goes along with this choir?
There should have been.
Oh, if you could set that up somehow.
I mean, the fact that that didn't happen, or maybe it did and they just haven't released it yet. Because it's like, how can you not do a glorious bomb? With that, even in the rehearsals, it's like, how can you not? That's perfect.
No one even tells Bobby about the choir. He just walks into the room. Gargano and Ciampa are just there filming him as the choir just immediately breaks out into song.
And he's like, all right.
And just does all Bobby Roode things. Crowd was into it for Bobby Roode. Crowd was really hot for Ty Dillinger. A lot of 10 chants in this match and throughout the night, which was, we'll get to.
A bit annoying.
A very, very bit annoying. We'll get to when it became annoying. But I liked how Ty taunted Bobby with it. Bobby taunted back with the 10 chains. They were very physical with one another. I thought this was a really good opener.
There's one great middle finger moment in the match where Ty is just stomping Rude's hands over and over and over. And as soon as he stops, he just puts both hands out to Bobby and raises all the fingers.
Yeah.
It's like, it's mine. Damn it. You can't have it. There's only one 10 in this ring and it's me.
We had some great near falls. Stan hit the super kick.
Yes, he did. An ode to HBK.
He drew its power.
But he could not get the three. Does not work in Canada. Only sharpshooters do. Which we did see a sharpshooter.
And there was a pop.
And there was a pop for Canada's only move, the sharpshooter.
Canada's only move, because every Canadian needs a sharpshooter.
Well, you know, it's true.
It should have been the duel of the match. Just who can get the sharpshooter in last.
Bobby tried the tiebreaker. Did not work. Crowd was not happy with it, with him trying to mock Ty on that one. Yeah, overall, small package, reversals, Ty got sent to the post, and then hit the glorious DDT. Bobby Roode is your winner. I thought this was a really good opener.
This was a really strong opener, very enjoyable. Not surprised that Bobby won, but a great, great match, and probably the best entrance of the night.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to top. Course.
Yeah, I was going to say, for everybody that got a special entrance tonight, Bobby's had to be the best.
I was happy to see the curse of the, well, if you get a big entrance, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
I was happy to see that streak broken.
Because he came out with that entrance, I'm like, oh, crap. Because, you know, points!
She's all about her points.
Of course.
Shut up. I'm going to lose them all tomorrow, but just give me tonight.
We're all going to lose them all tomorrow.
I know. Tomorrow's going to suck. Can Survivor Series just not count?
Take a mulligan.
Survivor Series counts. Just saying.
Can we lose one instead of three?
No. No, that's not how this game goes.
Because technically they're not losing, they're being eliminated. That's not the same thing as losing.
But if you're on the losing team, you lose.
But technically the person that falls loses it.
No. You're on the losing team.
Damn it. I tried. I tried really hard.
There's no negotiating with a rule maker.
But if your person gets pinned, would you then, if you're on the winning team, would you want to get credit for that win?
Well, if my person is the one that gets the win, absolutely.
No, but if your person's eliminated from the winning team, do you not want the 5 points for a win?
Sure. I just don't want the points for the loss.
But you don't want the points for a win.
No, I want the points for the win. I don't want the points for the loss.
You can't have it both ways. I'm just saying. You can't have it both ways.
I can try.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
I tried, y'all. I truly tried.
We'll break that down in the next segment. Ty Dillinger got a huge ovation from the crowd afterwards, though.
He did.
That's one of the things you really want out of an opening match. Both guys were just so over with the crowd. Like, immediately you set the tone and the energy for the whole night, which was epic.
Yeah, and it got the crowd warmed up. They were hot the rest of the night. It's like, yes!
What was good about it, and it tells just how good of a heel Bobby Roode can be, is the crowd did start turning on him once they got over the amazement of his entrance. They were, you know, they slowly progressed into solidly behind Ty, which
yeah.
is the story you want to tell in this kind of match.
They may really like Bobby Roode, but they know he's the heel, so they finally bought into him being the heel. Which is a good credit on his part, as he was able to get them in that direction,
mm-hmm.
despite being from the area.
They're
both Canadians, yes. Yes, they are. Then we had the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Classic. The match made just for action figure purposes. Authors of Pain versus TM61 with Paul Ellering in the, I guess, Crash Cage, not the Shark Cage, because Crash Cage is the name of the toy that's out there at toy stores everywhere.
The best part about this was the cage had its own entrance.
The cage had its own entrance. And the toy did exactly look like the structure they built. That was the scary part.
The completely fake structure.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine taking that to a designer, like an industrial engineer, going, so we need you to make something that can support a 250-pound man in a 350-pound cage, and it has to look like this, and they pop out this plastic toy exactly like this.
And it just so happened to be the sponsor of the event. Go figure. Go figure. The only real highlight of this one, Shane Thorne, who I thought was Nick Miller, but then it was called Shane Thorne, but I thought they said Nick Miller, did a flipping dive off the structure that was holding up the cage.
It's a very Hardy moment.
It was very Hardy-ish, but there were no deletes or obsoletes or
No. Old school Hardy, other Hardy.
Oh, when Lita
less crazy Hardy.
So when the Hardys had Lita, not Rebby.
So not Dad Hardy?
No.
Not Amnesia Hardy, no. Not Dad Hardy, no. Not that one. Okay.
It's interesting to me that now we get to call Jeff the less crazy Hardy.
It's sad. It really, really is.
So no, it was like a very like old school Attitude Era style moment, mm-hmm. which was really cool.
Yeah.
The only reason the structure exists.
Basically.
They worked over Nick Miller a while. Thorne got a hot tag. He ran wild. And they actually let all the TM61 like get the Authors of Pain off their feet. And actually showed how strong Nick and Shane are, which was actually a nice little thing to see. Took a little away from the Authors of Pain, but what can you do?
It takes away from them a little bit, but they're still going, like, spoiler alert, they got the win.
Yeah.
So, like, you can take a little bit away from them, and they still come out looking all the better for it. You know, at the very least, they know TM61 is a great team. Like, that's a team you're going to have in the title picture at some point. So you still need to make sure they look good so they can take the Authors down a few pegs.
Because somebody needs to.
Yeah. So Paul Ellering was up in the crash cage, and he dropped the chain into the ring.
I'm still so upset no one got kendo sticks and went pinata on him.
I know.
I think he was too high.
I don't care. Would have been fun. I want to see that match someday. Whoever knocks the candy out of Paul Ellering first wins.
You could have got some duct tape from underneath the ring and taped two canes together. You could have whacked it.
See, I'm more disappointed this wasn't the battle for Ellerling's love or services. It's like, I feel like if you're going to suspend somebody in a cage above the ring, you should be literally fighting over that person, you know?
Yeah.
Or their services or whatever, because it's like, it would be so much better than just, you know, banning, just like suspending him up there for the sake of suspending him up there, because it's essentially what they did. It's like, I said it on the show this past Thursday, and I'm saying it now. Why didn't you just ban him from ringside? Other than the sponsorship, which now we understand why they didn't do it, was because it was sponsored by a toy, and they literally built the toy. But still, it's like...
The whole idea behind the old school shark cage stipulation is so you can see him, you know he's not going to run into the match, because even if you ban him from ringside, it's not like they put armed guards at the door to his locker room or anything.
They could.
The idea is so the crowd can see he is a non-factor in the match, and a good heel is still going to find a way to become a factor in the match with, say, a chain that he was keeping in his pocket.
I know.
And this goes to Matt on Twitter. Matt, Paul Ellering is a WWE Hall of Famer. He managed the Legion of Doom, just so you know. He was getting schooled on the Twitter on Saturday, so I figured I'd bring it up now. So, I mentioned the chain. Chain came into the ring when the Authors of Pain had the chain. He missed the punch, then the chain flew into the crowd.
I hope everybody's okay.
Did it fly into the crowd or did it go up the ramp? I thought it went up the ramp.
I thought it went into the crowd.
Please tell me it went up the ramp.
I think it went up. I would have to go back and look, but
I don't want to have a Lesnar moment in NXT.
I think it went into the crowd. I really, really do.
Looking through the archive now, I have to get to that point.
Okay. So he'll take a look, and he'll get back to us at some point with that. In the end, they hit the last chapter for the win. Authors of Pain are the winners of the Dusty Rhodes Classic Cup. You had Dustin, Hunter, and Regal out to present the cup. It was okay. The match itself was just okay. I would say it's the first match in the history of takeovers that sort of was just sort of a stinker.
Yeah, this just was like, because there was no suspense. You knew the Authors of Pain were going to win. I mean, I hate to take that away from TM61, but it's like, you just knew. You just knew. There's no way.
Yeah, it just sort of, it favored them, and it, you know, it sort of happened.
Yeah, the match was there to build them up as the monster team. You know, yeah, I've said it before, like, these Dusty Rhodes Classics feel like it's pretty much just how they build up particular feuds, and you know, by the end of the night, we found out the feud that this one's going to be building to. And also, yes, the chain flew into the corner in the front row.
Told you.
I hope everybody's okay. And it's not like the Brock Lesnar incident where a car door went flying into the crowd.
Thankfully. So, there you go. The Authors of Pain are the winners of the Dusty Cup. And the cup will just sit in the Performance Center for another year, because I don't expect them, like they do with the Andre Cup or trophy, to drag it around.
Hey, Baron Corbin, stop dragging that thing around.
After how many months?
They need like a nice Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal medallion or something.
Because that's one big-ass trophy, and it's hard to... He doesn't even carry it. It just randomly placed at ringside for
him. Yeah. It just appears.
Up next, we have the 2 out of 3 falls match for the NXT Tag Team titles, The Revival versus DIY, Gargano, and Ciampa. So, you remember how he said on Thursday they should build to the first fall?
That didn't happen.
That didn't happen. It was like 5-6 minutes in. Shatter Machine, Revival get the first fall.
Such a good spot to hit it.
Oh, it was a great spot, but it was like, God damn it. We had this whole theory and nope.
Denied.
5 minutes and 30 seconds to be exact. It's like, okay. All right. We thought it didn't happen. But it was a great spot in the corner. They were able to hit the Shatter Machine. Second fall via the running double knees. DIY got it. There was one spot in the second fall where I think it was Dash Wilder. Crawled from one side of the ring to the other to stop the hot tag to Ciampa. Thought that was very creative.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to the third fall, and it really picked up from there. It was a nice running uppercut into a German suplex, into a double pin, which Ciampa broke up. I thought that was a really cool spot.
This match was full of really good spots.
I would argue this was match of the night.
Oh, yeah.
There's no argument to be made.
No argument to be made there. There was another spot where the tag title belt was in the ring. Gargano went for a kick, but one of the Revival put the belt up instead, and Gargano ended up kicking the belt, which then turned into the inverted figure four, but also that member of the Revival got busted open. That we did not see the referee actually check for the blood, but it was there in full view.
We just won't tell the referee. It didn't happen.
They just let it go, thankfully.
Thankfully.
I don't think it was enough for them to really be concerned. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Revival went for to mock DIY, went for the double knees. It backfired. DIY hit the Shatter Machine for a two count. And then there was a full moon in Canada, Lindsay.
There was a whole lot of Johnny Gargano being shown. A whole lot.
I like how they played up the, going back to the inverted figure four, which ended the last tag match. I like how they went back to it and allowed him to actually get to the ropes and stop the fall from happening.
Yeah.
It was a nice playback to the first match.
We see that a few times where, like, crawling underneath the ring to break up the hot tag. That's a spot they've done before.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't let it happen this time, so.
Yeah, nice callbacks from previous matches, which is good. Mm-hmm. So the finish was double submissions, and DIY became your new tag team champions.
Finally.
I like that they were trying to hold each other's hands and try to stop each other from tapping out. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You can hang on. And it's like, but I want to give up. No, don't give up. And then he eventually gives up.
Both tap at the same time. It's a strangely good team moment, even in defeat.
It was a very nice sense of bonding between the two.
It was.
So DIY finally get the belts.
Like, the build-up to that, like, they were working over Gargano's knee the whole match. Like, in particular, they're working over Gargano.
Yeah.
Because if I remember, he took the fall in their last encounter.
Yeah, with the figure four.
Yeah. So they're trying for it again. And, you know, everything they could do just to bust the guy's knee down and cut him off from making the hot tag. When he finally got the tag, the spot was awesome.
Yeah, there was even one point where they did a chop block to him, and he took out both knees.
Well, yeah, like there's the storytelling element to this match where, like, that was toward the end, like just before the finish.
Yeah,
and it was basically like Gargano with no legs left, literally trying to find some way of getting a win without needing his legs, which is where he puts on the crossface.
Yep,
it was very well done. Go ahead.
And then Tommaso makes the save.
Yeah. And it put in an arm. He tried for, like, I think he did, like, an arm bar of some sort. Just yanked back on one dude's arm.
He did, like, a flip-over arm bar.
Yeah.
So it looked like he was in the... It was almost the same position the opponent would be in for the disarmer, except he was, like, wrenching back with his hands over his head.
Mm-hmm. It was a very good spot.
Great spot, and speaking of cute team moments, Gargano and Ciampa, after they won, whispering and talking to each other, and it was just, the fact that they tackle-hugged each other was just adorable.
Candice is going to have a hard time dealing with those two when they get back to Florida, just saying. Not going to be able to control themselves.
Well, I hope so.
Look at the shiny belts we brought home.
I still want the Glorious Bomb, though.
It may happen. It may happen.
Want it.
A championship Glorious Bomb. You know, could happen. Then we had the NXT Women's Championship match. Asuka versus Mickie James.
This entire match was like, alright, just kiss already. I'm serious, it was to me. Because it's like they spent the first 10 minutes of the match flirting with each other.
They did.
5-10 minutes flirting with each other, and then it's like Mickey slapped the crap out of Asuka, and then that's when Asuka's like, oh no. no, no, now I'm done playing with you. Now I'm going to murder you.
But it took a while for her to murder her after the slap, because Mickey actually kept control. But we'll get to that in a second. First, we'll go to the Asuka entrance. The front row, first four rows, actually, all in masks.
It was freaking creepy.
It was cool.
I believe they were handed the mask, unless they actually had some crowd unit go, hey, everyone, I never met you before, but we should all go and buy masks together before the show.
Quick, hands up. Do you have a front row ticket? Okay. Do you have $9.99? Meet me at the merch booth.
You don't need your network subscription this month. Buy the mask.
God, no. It gave me like Al Snow flashbacks seeing so many white heads in the crowd.
What I thought was interesting early on was the girls taunting one another by holding the ropes open.
Yep, mm-hmm. That was really well done. And then both of them, you know, getting back in the ring under the open rope and slapping their opponent or hitting an offensive move on their opponent.
Yeah, it was perfect. Oh, a crazy spot. Ankle lock into German on the outside. It looked like it bent Mickey in half, which it did. And props to Mickey. She got her body back into shape.
Oh, yeah.
Her flexibility's back. She's moving every bit as good as she could before, which that really shouldn't be affected, but weird things can happen to a body, especially when it's pregnant. Mickey's a little bit older. She's had more injuries. But yeah, she looked fantastic. She moved fantastic. I want another one with her and Asuka, because this was slightly awkward in the beginning and slightly awkward throughout the entire match because they hadn't had the luxury of facing each other before. Mm-hmm. So this is the first one, and it's all that feeling out, figuring out what they're going to do, that kind of thing. Like, you could see that.
Sort of like the Bayley-Asuka first battle.
Yeah, and then it's like, I think if we could get a second one, it would be 10 times better than this.
We saw Mickey James pull out the Muda Lock. Go ahead.
No, that's all I was going to say.
Okay. Mickey pulled out the Muda Lock, and then we talk about the slap. She slapped Asuka, and Asuka just sort of like went, huh, she's for real. And then Mickey kicked her ass for another like 5 minutes. We had the chick kick for a 2 count, foot on the rope. Finished all the Asuka finally getting the Asuka lock on. Mickey tried to escape. She even got into a pin. Asuka kicked out, rolled through, whatever you want to call it. And then Mickey James eventually tapped out. Asuka retains the belt. Afterwards, Mickey goes to for the sign of respect, shake the hand. Asuka just holds up the belt. And they stare at each other down. Good stuff.
This match was honestly better than I was expecting it to be, which is a bad thing to say considering the performers who are in it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was part of me going, well, it's Mickey James, who has been around a while and hasn't been in the WWE in so long. And it's Asuka, who is the most colorful murderer on the planet.
I really hope Mickey gets signed.
Even if she doesn't get signed, I hope that we get a return match, either at the tapings, because they're taping tonight, or at some point down the line, just because I still believe that the second match would be better. And Mickey got a really nice reaction coming back. It was great to see her. And I think she could really bring something, at least to the NXT women's division, that they really sorely need right now.
Yeah. Like, honestly, some veteran guidance for all the young talent they got in there right now is really needed. Like, I said it last time I was on. It feels like that division is finally starting to find its place and its cohesion without all the performers they lost in the Revolution and the draft. I could really see someone like Mickey bringing not only a star element to that division, but also just that much knowledge and wisdom of the business itself that would do a lot of good to shape off a lot of these NXT performers who still need that last bit of work.
Agreed. Agreed. And she also provides the challenge for Asuka that Asuka clearly needs because, you know, as they keep saying, nobody in NXT is ready for her. I think they had a plan for Asuka that they were going to build her up. They were going to put her up against the likes of, you know, Bayley and Alexa Bliss and probably Nia Jax, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And it never happened because all those people got called up. So now they're sort of stuck where it's like, well, we have to rebuild the entire women's division pretty much from the ground up, except for Asuka. So in the meantime, she's sort of just sitting around twiddling her thumbs because there's nobody really that's on her level yet. So bringing in people like Mickey is good because she can come in, she's already established, they don't have to build her up, they don't really have to explain much about her, and she can go right for Asuka, and she and Asuka can feud over the title until they get that next challenger in, probably Liv Morgan, ready.
Liv to Ember, yeah.
Liv or Ember, yeah. I think it's going to be Liv before Ember, yeah. Because they're really going to try and save Ember for Mania.
That's why I said Liv to Ember. Liv to Ember. Yeah. That was really good. Then we got to the main event. Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe for the NXT Championship. Alright, there's one violinist. There's two violinists. There's now six violinists on the intro tramp. And then you look in the ring. Oh look, there's about four or five more violinists in the ring.
I think nine was the top count I got too.
Something like that.
He had an entire orchestra, and none of them were playing, like, really with the music. I get they were all trying to imitate different parts of the music as it played, so you have, like, you know, the violins and the violas and so on and so forth, but all the violins were playing that part, and it just looked really out of sync. There was the one guy who didn't even know how to hold it or play it. He was just sort of like, yeah, I'm just gonna kind of stand here and fake it. Because I don't know what I'm doing.
This is our inner band geek coming out, showing
yeah.
they weren't playing correctly.
No. Yeah. No. I said it before. Everyone looked like they were playing the different song.
Yeah.
It's like at least the chorus was in time. This was not in time.
Yeah. The visual of them all playing was great, but if you're a band geek, you know they weren't actually doing anything.
I'm sorry, if that many members of the chorus could get the song down in time for this event, you'd have that many violinists should have been able to at least get enough to fake it.
Well, it's something if you can listen to the music as it's playing and you can hear it, and it's like, okay, so you kind of try to play with the music, but
there may have been some sort of delay in what they were hearing and it threw everyone off. I don't know. Could have been.
No, because there was just one guy that was, like, hacking at it like it was a saw or something.
All right, that one, sans the one guy.
This was different than the other guy. I don't know, it was a cool effect to see the white violins, and they popped really nicely, but it didn't have the same magic as what the last pay-per-view did.
Just the one guy actually playing the song.
Yeah, where he improv'd the beginning, and then he went into the song, and he and Shinsuke went to the ring together while he was playing him to the ring. That was really nice. Although, I did have a suggestion from the chat room. Somebody said, or actually should say, Wit said, they need to get Lindsey Sterling and have Lindsey Sterling play him to the ring. Mania. That should be Mania. Or they get the guy that played him to the ring in Brooklyn. Either way, I will not judge.
If they got 10 for, or 9 or 10 for TakeOver Toronto, and if he ever makes WrestleMania, whatever number for the year it is, that's how many violinists he needs. So if it's 33, they need 33. If it's 34, get them 34. Just have them all around the ring. Playing. Actually playing, though. That's the key.
Yeah, actually playing.
And then you had the stark contrast of Samoa Joe just walking to the ring.
There's such a part of me that's always disappointed when he comes out for those matches with Shinsuke and he doesn't just have a bunch of tuba players.
You should tweet that suggestion to them. That would be a good one.
Just have a bunch of sousaphones following him.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to happen. Now, get it. We had some crowd fighting. We had a lot of hard-hitting, strong-style action. A lot of Joe domination. And this is where the crowd started. It got a little annoying during the Mickey match, but it really got annoying in this one. Canada, there's more numbers than 10. Like 1, and 2, and 3, and 4, and 5, and so on and so forth. You can learn another number.
I fully expected the referee to start losing count.
At one point, I was like, what are they chanting? Like, come on. I know you like Ty Dillinger, but not every number is 10. Just saying.
Congratulations, you made it look like your whole country can't count.
It is Canada.
No, they were speaking Canadian.
They were speaking Canadian.
Speaking Canadian. In Canadian language, every number is 10.
Rock was like, are they speaking French or Canadian? I'm like,
they're two different things, but it's Canada.
There is no Canadian. There is no such thing as Canadian language.
Yes, there is. A lot of oboots and A's.
And tens.
And tens.
It makes the currency system really messed up.
Well, look at their financial situation.
Send all hate mail to media@wildtalkradio.com.
Sorry, Canada.
Sorry, Canada.
Yeah, no. It happens. We had a Kinshasa for two. This was one of the better moments. This is where the crowd turned back in good favor with me after they lost me with the tens. To Hawk Shinsuke up, they start singing his song. They willed him back into the match by singing his song. That was new.
I've seen them sing just randomly, go back to the theme songs like that. They did it for Sami Zayn too. Never to actually just get him back into the match. It's rare. Well, I guess in Canada, where wrestling is sacred, you maybe expect that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
rather than just there's the standard Nakamura chant.
Yeah.
One thing I do appreciate when they take the NXT on the road is sometimes the crowds do get creative.
And that was a creative spot that just sort of played into the match. I will say, this was the first time I've seen Samoa Joe do the German into the full Nelson into the twisted arm German.
Yeah, the straight jacket suplex.
The straight jacket suplex, yeah.
The game set.
Thank you. He finally pulled out his video game move. I've never seen him actually do it. But for two video games, it's been in there. It's been his signature move. But I've never seen him actually do it. And he pulled it out tonight.
Corey Graves was losing it when he did it.
Yeah.
Corey Graves loses it whenever these two get in the ring. Because he's like, oh my god, Kinshasa! Oh my god, this! Oh my god, Kinshasa! The entire time. He just loses his mind. He's a gigantic Joe and Shinsuke fanboy.
So there's a running knee. Sent Joe out of the ring.
There's one point where I was watching this match with a friend of mine, and I go to him, you know, before they came out, I am imagining the conversation of, Joe, please don't break my neck. Shinsuke, please don't break my eye. And then, sure enough, at some point, Joe's eye gets busted open and is like, what did I tell you?
Exactly.
He's not Aries, though.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Thankful.
It does not look like he has a plum in his skull.
Yeah. So, they roll to the outside after the knee. You think Shinsuke's going to get control, but Joe, with a low kick, does the Uranagi slam onto the steel steps, brings Shinsuke into the ring, sets him up for the muscle buster, hits the muscle buster, and Samoa Joe is the two-time NXT champion. What?
Points.
I was going to say, not what I predicted.
No,
not what anybody predicted.
We all said there's no way Joe's winning. No way. Shinsuke's the long-term champion. They're going to Japan. Joe's the champ.
So I guess Nakamura's chasing the belt when they get to Osaka?
Maybe he wins it back in Osaka?
Maybe they do the rematch.
It'd be a really weird to just take it off of him and put it right back on. Of course, that hasn't stopped him with any of the other belts.
Because are they really going to have Shinsuke lose in Japan?
No.
So how do you do it then?
I would say that, except Sasha.
Except everybody. You always lose in your hometown.
Okay. Sasha's Boston is her quote-unquote hometown. Japan's really is where he's from, so...
Okay, that's a whole country.
The whole country.
Like, you're referring to a whole country.
I know. It's his home country. You're building the whole tour around the ones... You're only going there for him.
And Asuka.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. I'm discounting Asuka.
And before he got hurt, Hideo. Although Hideo's swearing he's gonna go.
He's still so
really
advertised.
They're still going for three people.
But Shinsuke's the star. He's coming back as champion. They even made a commercial on Wednesday. He's coming and defending the title against Samoa Joe.
I saw that. I'm like, are you spoiling?
Apparently not.
Card subject to change.
Apparently not. It wasn't a thing.
It was a swerve to screw with all of us.
They swerved us. They really, really did.
Those bastard. Well, we knew there was going to be a swerve in one match.
And we thought it was going to be Bobby Roode and Ty.
And when it didn't happen, you're like, oh, crap.
Where's
the swerve? Where is it? It's coming because, you know, you're watching this progress and it's like, okay, so that's like we called it. That's like we called it. You know, it's all going according to plan. And then you get to Joe and Shinsuke. It's like, oh, they're not going to do it. They did the thing. Holy crap, they did the thing.
Like, I thought it was going to be a false finish. They're going to build up this big dramatic thing, the low kick, the thing, make sure Shinsuke so tough, so determined to kick out. No, he didn't. He didn't. Samoa Joe was champ. So, what's next for Shinsuke? Who the hell knows?
But till then, points, y'all. Points.
Yes, 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 points.
Hey.
Hey, I got title points tonight, too. I'm just not gloating.
You can gloat.
I'm not a gloater, really.
Oh, really? You lie, sir. You lie. So bad.
That was the biggest lie he's ever told.
You forget.
Okay, that's not true.
We've known you for 10 years. Don't lie to me, okay? Don't
make me pull out the BWO music on you.
Oh, God, anything but that.
Don't pull out the Otaku Talk Live stuff on him.
Right? It's one click away. So one click away.
Why is all my dirt in audio format?
Hell, I could just pull out the soundboard of a Mega Clips.
Including the infamous 1-inch clip.
Do you really want that?
No.
So, it's a form of blackmail. He has shit on all of us. He records everything, and he never tells us.
That's not true.
Yeah, I know you in production, you're a god.
That was him actually referring to Omega, for once. And there's also...
Jacking it, jackety-jack, spanking it, smackety-smack. I was drunk.
Oh, bullshit. You don't drink either.
It was NyQuil. I was really sick.
Really? That's the best you've got.
Yes. No, it wasn't NyQuil. You ate a lot of turkey. Remember, this is the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble special. You ate a lot of turkey.
Okay.
That's why.
Yeah, I hopped up on tryptophan.
There you go. Giving him the out on the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble special.
Because we gotta hit the plug. So, speaking of the special, speaking of the show, I think we're done.
This is where Omega plugs his stuff.
So, anything I do, anywhere you can find me is pretty much under the name TJ Omega. Except over on Facebook, where you'll find me under TJ Reviews. But everywhere else, YouTube.com, it is TJ Omega for all of my video content. TJOmega.org for some exclusive content that YouTube's not happy with, but I make it anyway. And then if you're following me over on Twitter, it is TJ Omega again.
Those thieving bastards on Facebook.
One guy who won't give up the name.
One person.
One guy.
Just like the same people holding TJOmega.com over his head.
No, that's a different person across an ocean, and I'm even more mad at them.
I know.
He will get his revenge one day.
His organization will take over at one point.
<It's good. laughs>
Once he revamps TJOmega, that'll work.
Working on that.
Isn't that like the seventh sign of the apocalypse when he finishes his website?
Hey, the Cubs won, so it's a start.
Now get onto that website and get it done. Send us the break, Lindsay.
Alright, you're listening to the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving Spectacular here on the Rack. So when we come back, we're talking about the other major event that happened this weekend, Survivor Series, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner. Bo!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
WWE superstar Natalya, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com. It is the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Spectacular. We are entering course 3 of our show. If you just joined us, you missed the NXT review with NXT analyst TJ Omega. So, well, you're going to be a little sad about that. You're going to have to catch it on the flip side. You can just, you know, rewind this because we're not live and hear all about it. Or you can stay tuned with us as we do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So sadly, I don't have a lot because I work in advertising, and this was the biggest week of the year for us, and it kind of made me want to cry. So not a lot of tweets, but I do have 2. A whopping 2.
10!
No, you have 10.
No, every number is 10!
Only in Canada. Lana! Well, Heyman Hustle, guess your client Brock Lesnar underestimated Goldberg. Oh well, maybe in 12 years you can try again. Hashtag Survivor Series. Rusev! Brock Lesnar! Ha 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 ha. And we'll get into why they tweeted that. But that's it. That's all I have.
Kofi Kingston, it's okay, Brock. Damn near same thing happened to me earlier. Moving backwards on the timeline, Donald Trump made a tweet of something about Mike Pence and whatever happened in Hamilton. Not going to read his tweet. CM Punk, I just got off the phone with Katz. Going to build a wall around Hamilton musical. Going to be huge. Katz will pay for it. Nice, nice little jab. 3 minute move, the sharpshooter, the official move of Canada. We just talked about that. We'll talk about some more. Someone tweeted, John R. tweeted, Mickey getting run over by the Asuka train, hashtag NXT takeover. TNA Creative, a storm is on the way. ProWrestling.net, congrats to the NFL kickers for setting the new missed extra point record in one day despite being without Blair Walsh. Yeah, okay, before really quick, because we got a tangent. Every damn kicker on Sunday missed a kick. Extra points, field goals, everything. There were like 12 of them. Insane. Fake ESPN. The next kicker to miss an extra point gets a free Papa John's pizza. Keep it 5-star. Dr. Survivor Series. I can't clear her. Daniel Bryan. You can't clear anybody. What good are you? He's very bitter.
Bryan.
Keep it 5-star. Rollins and Reigns at Survivor Series. Reigns. Sierra. Rollins. Hotel. Reigns. India. Rollins. Echo. Reigns Lima? Rollins Delta? They're all confused. We'll tell you why in a minute. Andrew Goldstein. CM Punk put up more of a fight against Mickey Gall. Hashtag Brock. Hashtag Goldberg. Hashtag Survivor Series. Kevin Owens saw that David Otunga favored a tweet that he was mentioned in because it was someone praised David Otunga for actually having a line of commentary. He said, wow, you found the one person that enjoys your commentary. Let us know when you find one that enjoyed your in-ring work. Oh, Kevin. And finally, Fake SportsCenter. This is a fun fact, Lindsay. A fun fact.
Oh.
Tony Romo has 0 fumbles and 0 interceptions during the Cowboys' 9-game winning streak. That's a fun fact.
I think it's first in Cowboys history.
Well, because he hasn't played.
Shh! Don't hurt the record.
Oh, speaking of, can we not praise a dude for throwing away his cup that he dropped on the ground?
He didn't litter!
Come on, he's not a great guy because he picked up a cup.
Yes, he is.
He's not a great guy because he picked up a cup.
Yes, he is.
No.
According to them, he is.
It's not a thing. Can we stop making it a thing?
He's not littering. He's doing right by the earth. He's setting a good example. How dare you insult him?
Dak Prescott, well done for cleaning up your cup that you missed in a trash can.
See, was that so hard?
Moving on.
But it's not like I brought up the fact that the Eagles lost.
Shut. Lindsay's going to sit here and talk about the Survivor Series. I'm going to tout.
We don't have a tout! Would you do sign up for it while we were on break?
I did. You can go to tout.com. Wait, it doesn't exist? Oh, well. Never mind.
You tried really hard.
I know.
You could Facebook Live.
I did that on Sunday.
You could do it again?
You go talk about Survivor Series. I'm going to go MySpace Live.
Is this still a thing?
I don't know.
I'm all confused. That's still a thing?
I didn't know you could go live online. Anyway, moving on. Back to Survivor Series.
Back to Survivor Series. It was Raw versus SmackDown, my least favorite thing in WWE. And, well, it was a show. It was definitely a show. We're going to start off with the first match on the pre-show, which featured the Cruiserweights. We had TJ Perkins, Rich Swann, and Noam Dar facing off against Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, a.k.a. Coke Guy, and Arya Daivari.
Babyfaces win! Woo!
Go team babyface.
Because the heels never do.
Because the heels never do.
That's a legit fact. When it's a heel tag team thing, they never win. Never, ever. Anyway, Rich Swann's team won. I got nothing.
This was a good match. It was a really solid showcase for the Cruiserweights, but there wasn't anything that made you go, oh my god, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread type thing. But it was good. It was very well done.
See, if Brian Kendrick was in it, then it would be the greatest thing since sliced bread number 2.
Well, you know, he wasn't there.
So it wasn't, you know. So
He had a previous engagement that he could not get out of.
Later in the show.
Up next, we have Kane taking on one Luke Harper. It's so nice that they remembered that the Wyatts were feuding with Kane.
So here are my notes. Let's go Harper. Let's go Kane. Let's go Harper. Let's go Kane.
This was a really good match.
Big guy hard-hitting match. Hashtag Kane never loses.
But they work really well together. They have really nice chemistry, which doesn't surprise me about Luke Harper, because he works pretty much with anybody, and the same goes for Kane. Mm-hmm. So they complemented each other really well. You saw Luke pulling moves. He was hitting drop kicks. He was diving through the ropes. You know, and you had the commentators being like, oh my god, he shouldn't be able to do that. And he's doing it anyway. It's like, have you never seen Luke Harper before? Do you not know who this man is?
It's a good thing you mentioned that. Here.
Of course, when you put Kane and Luke Harper in the same ring, that's a freak show without a tip. But these guys knew that they were going out there and following that Cruiserweight match.
You could tell, right?
You could tell.
What a way to get the night started.
You see Luke Harper flying through the rope and this suplex off the
big
top.
Big toe pain.
Yeah, they thought they were Cruiserweights. Great.
Not sure that was praise for the Cruiserweights if the big guys are doing the moves.
I think it was shots fired to both, honestly, because they were making fun of them a little bit for going out there and busting their butts.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, but wait a minute, they just put on a really, really good match.
They did. They put on a good match. Though, the best part of that whole thing was this.
I didn't think my ex-husband was going to be able to pull that one off.
She remembered.
Continuity, y'all. Continuity. Bless.
All right, now before we get to the main show, I have one thing in my notes I want to bring up.
Okay.
This is how Mick Foley learned about Sami Zayn. Because his kid wanted a Sami Zayn action figure. That's how you know about Sami Zayn? Not from his work on the indies, but because your kid wanted an action figure. Well done, Foley. Well done. All right, now we go to the main show.
Alrighty, and on that note, we had the kickoff with the women Team Raw taking on Team SmackDown Live in a traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series women's elimination match. Nikki Bella got eliminated before the match ever started because somebody took her out backstage, so you had the one, the only, the spectacular Natalya taking her place.
Who was just on our show? She was just on our show too, wasn't she?
I think she was. No, well, it wasn't this show, it was the other show.
The Rack Extra. Right.
Total Divas, which airs every Thursday.
Thursday.
We do it on Wednesday, dude. We record it on Wednesday.
Right. My days are confused. What's today?
Lay off the turkey. The tryptophan is kicking in.
Gobble, gobble. Wobble, wobble.
Wobble, wobble.
Anyway.
This was a really, really good match.
So, we believe Natty was the one who took out Nikki, right?
Honestly, I believe it was Charlotte.
I think it was Natty.
Could have been Natty. I mean, she did say she's got that little bad girl persona going on, so...
So, you know, that's how that rolls. Let's see. Alicia eliminated Carmella. Alexa eliminated Alicia. Naomi got counted out. This is where I wrote, the 10 needs to die.
Yes, the 10 got on my nerves.
Really early and very often. Natalya eliminated Sasha Banks.
Fail.
Charlotte eliminated Natalya. Becky and Alexa argued... They failed at a double suplex on Nia. Nia did one of her own. Becky, though, eliminated Nia with the disarmer. Charlotte eliminated Alexa. And then Bayley beats Becky. Team Raw wins.
So, Bayley, not the sole survivor, but a survivor. She and Charlotte made it through to the end, but Charlotte was none too happy about that because after the match, she kicked the crap out of Bayley.
Tossed her around. Into the dashboards boards over and over and over again. So there you go. We all had Team Raw, including the 8-Ball and the video game. Wait, no, my bad. Wrong one.
I was going to say, I picked SmackDown.
I looked at everything. I looked at the wrong one. I had Raw women, the video game had Raw women, 8-Ball, and you had the SmackDown women.
At least if I'm going down, I'm going down with the 8-Ball.
Right, exactly.
Next, we have the Intercontinental Championship on the line. Winner takes the belt to their respective show. It was The Miz taking on one Sami Zayn in a good match.
In a good match. We'll get there. We got one thing we have to add first. We forgot what happened backstage.
What happened backstage?
Ellsworth was confronted by the club, who then had Foley defend Ellsworth. Ellsworth then put over Foley. Foley wants Ellsworth on Raw. Ellsworth says no. Foley, if you wanted Ellsworth, you had him on Raw first. You could have signed him then.
But he wasn't a big deal then.
I understand. But then Braun showed up and said, don't I know you?
Again, continuity. I love it.
Exactly. Now back to the match. This was a solid match.
This was a really solid match. Honestly, I thought it could be a little bit better, but they went out there and they gave their best. And that's all you can ask for. I wasn't a fan of the finish.
The Toronto screwjob.
The Toronto screw job. I really wasn't a fan of it. It's like, I understand why you did it was to have Miz keep the belt, but I'm just so tired of, and I understand Miz is a heel, he's gonna cheat, yada 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 yada, but Miz always cheats. I don't think he's gotten a clean win in forever. So, it'd be nice to see him pick up a clean victory every once in a great while.
I had this matchup correct until somebody...
Dude, no, it made complete sense, right? Because 205 Live is going to be on SmackDown, they're going to move the Cruiserweights to SmackDown, which means they're going to have an imbalance in belts, something has to go over to Raw. It made complete 100% sense that the IC title was going to Raw.
I had this one correct until somebody made change my mind.
It made logical sense. I can't help it if WWE threw the booking sheet out the window on this, in more ways than one.
So the 8-Ball was the only one that got this right, because someone made me change my mind.
Hey, you made that choice.
You talk, use logic. You know how logic works on me.
You still made the choice.
Next, Shane and broke up Dean and AJ arguing about TLC. He was trying to play Peacemaker. Next match.
Team Raw faces Team SmackDown in the Tag Team Elimination Match on the 10-on-10 Survivor Series Challenge. I wasn't a fan of this.
Want to hear the biggest praise I have for this? We didn't have 19 eliminations, because that would have been a lot.
That would have been a lot. I didn't like how quick, and I understand why they did it. I get it, because you had to get people out of the ring. You had 20 people out there. There was way too much. I understand why they did what they did, but we had a bunch of really quick eliminations.
Like New Day eliminating Breezango, and then Usos eliminating New Day in like less than 3 minutes total.
Yeah. You got New Day out of there really quick, which is like, oh, okay. So I wasn't a huge fan of the really quick eliminations in the beginning, but I mean, overall the match was really solid. It was really good. At the end, it got very, very good at the end.
The MVPs of this match were American Alpha, Cesaro, and Sheamus.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all you have to say. They were the highlights. They were the MVPs. Like, the Okada roll into the German suplex after breaking up the giant swing by Chad Gable was impressive. That was impressive.
That was super pretty. Super duper pretty.
Alright, so Gallows Anderson eliminated the Hyper Bros. American Alpha eliminates the Shining Stars. Gallows and Anderson eliminated American Alpha. And Rhino eliminates Gallows and Anderson. Enzo and Cass eliminate Slater and Rhino. Usos eliminate Enzo and Cass. So we're down to the Usos versus Cesaro and Sheamus. There was a spot where Cesaro saved Sheamus who ate an 8-2 superkick. I thought that should have been the finish, but I'm the only one. They wrestled for a little bit more. More saves back and forth. Tequila Sunrise into the Canadian move of the night. The sharpshooter. Team Raw wins.
Sheamus and Cesaro were excited to be the sole survivors. They were very excited. They were happy. And then they were bickering with each other. But, I mean, this was a really good, solid match. Very enjoyable, especially at the end. I just wasn't a fan in the beginning of this. But, again, I understand why they had to do it. Because they needed to get people out of there quick. Up next, we have...
Hold on. If I, you know, the intern actually wrote this properly, I could actually see things. There we go. We all picked Team Raw on that one. Just so I make it clear.
We all picked Raw.
We all picked Monday Night Raw.
So, up next, we have the Cruiserweight Division on the line as... The Brian Kendrick takes on Kalisto for the Cruiserweight Championship with the stipulation that if Kalisto wins, he gets to take the entire division to SmackDown. I have to say that, honestly, the promo that Kendrick cut was a little bit better before the match was a little bit better to me than the match. Like, the match itself was really solid. It was really good. They were taking risks. They were clearly going all out in this match, but there was a really impassioned promo from Kendrick that just struck a chord with me. Where it's like he's that cocky, just jerk of a guy. He's saying, this is mine, this is all mine, and he's completely narcissistic, but at the same time, there was a level of passion that came through when he's like, you're not taking my division anywhere.
When Brian Kendrick was on offense, it lost me. He slowed it down so much, I lost interest. The Spanish Fly by Kalisto was nice on the outside.
Yeah.
Kendrick wins by DQ when Baron Corbin interfered.
Didn't like this. I did not like that finish. It's like just all of a sudden random Baron Corbin. And again, understand why. They are setting up for TLC. You have to start the feud somehow with only 2 weeks to get to the pay-per-view. But still, it's like, wait, why is Corbin out there? Why is he attacking Kalisto?
Because Kalisto injured him, and Corbin injured Kalisto. Kalisto injured Corbin, who took him out of the big main event match. So this was his way of getting rid of the pest known as Kalisto and keeping the other pests away.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Because Corbin is now the pest control killer? I don't know.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Kendrick wins. The division stays on Raw. We pick Kalisto, April, and so did the video game. 8-Ball win with Kendrick.
Freaking swerve. Anyway, up next we have Team SmackDown Live taking on Team Raw in the 5-on-5 traditional men's elimination match. This was a glorious, beautiful thing. This was probably the best match on the whole card.
52 minutes bell to bell, like an over an hour just of bringing everyone to the ring and all that fun stuff. All right, we got to break this down in stages. Let's go with the beginning, not the middle or the end. We'll start with the big spot early. Everyone was in the ring. Crowd was chanting for Ellsworth. There was a spot where Baron Corbin caught Dean Ambrose and started carrying him around ringside like a baby into an AJ Styles dive. But he had nowhere to go. He just started walking around with Dean Ambrose, looking for someone to take it for the spot. It's like, oh, Braun. But he carried him around like a baby. It was awesome.
He wanted to take him home.
Braun killed Shane. Kevin had a big somersault flip on everyone at one point. AJ and Dean faced off after a shield tease. Shane was trying to play the peacemaker, but it was not to be. Braun killed people. Braun eliminated Dean Ambrose. AJ just stood there and watched. That plays a factor. We'll get to that. AJ got tossed out of the ring by Strowman, who tried to kill him. Calm down, Braun. Calm down. We then had the Braun and Bray face-off. Jericho showed up. Looked like Bray was convincing Braun to join back with the family. It did not work.
He had him for a second, and then Braun was like, yeah, no. But it's like, it was literally Bray and Braun get in the ring, and Bray's just glaring at Braun, and Braun's like, Dad? And Bray's going, son? It was just, it was a really nice tease. You had Bray giving the instructions to Braun, Braun listening to him. He grabbed hold of Jericho, I think, and then he grabbed hold of Bray, and it's like, oh, see, boo-boo, you didn't learn your lesson. And, well, Bray went flying, Jericho went flying, everybody went flying.
But,
or no, it wasn't Jericho, it was Styles.
No, it was Jericho. Jericho, you're right.
Okay. Say no, he didn't throw his own person, but yeah, he did.
Yeah. Later on, we got to the outside. RKO to Braun Strowman on the table. Bray and Orton lay out Braun, and then they looked to the ring. And who was it? Shane O'Mac on the top rope. The Shane O'Elbow. Right through the table.
Jesus, Shane.
This led to Braun Strowman being counted out because someone held a leg. That'd be James Ellsworth.
Ellsworth, you fool.
We defined this on Raw, post-show. Murder speed. We saw it here, too.
Oh my god, Strowman is, like, scary fast.
Hashtag murder speed.
Murder speed.
He tossed Ellsworth off the tape, off the stage, through a table. Bye-bye, Ellsworth. So we get back to the ring. Kevin Owens was mocking the Shane O'Mac dance. I laughed. Kevin Owens got eliminated after using the list. Jericho then was eliminated via the RKO. This is where things got scary. First, Shane used Rollins O'Neal against him. Then he threw Roman into the corner. Shane goes up to the other corner. He goes coast to coast and eats a spear. One, two, Shane kicks out because his body just sort of does it. He was out cold. This was a scary moment. He was eliminated due to the injury. We assume it was a concussion. He was on SmackDown. We'll talk about that here in a bit. The class move, as we referenced at the beginning of the show, was from Randy Orton winning over to Shane's kids, telling them, your father's okay.
Stand up thing to do.
Classy move. Back to in-ring action. Or out of the ring action. We had a tease of the Shield Bomb on Randy Orton. It was not to be. But, coming down the ramp, Dean Ambrose.
Security tries to stop him, the refs try to stop him, they all hold him back. Seth and Roman just look on longingly. And then they decide to help. And we get the moment that we've all been waiting for. The Shield has a temporary reunion.
For the Shield Bomb through the table to AJ Styles.
Fangirls, everybody lose their mind.
Pretty much, yes.
It was glorious. It was absolutely glorious.
Rollins would then eliminate AJ Styles. And then it's down to Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins versus the new Wyatt family.
The feels, y'all. The feels.
You had Orton, you had Bray, but when you say Wyatt family, that means one person.
How long was Luke Harper under that goddamn ring?
I don't know.
Yeah, Luke Harper appeared out of nowhere. Like, he just rolled out from under the ring, and oh, hey, there he is. It's like, oh, hey, look, it's Luke. Where did he come from?
He was probably under there for a good 30 minutes.
God, I hope he wasn't under there the whole pay-per-view.
No, because he did leave, remember? Probably when they did the, when they probably were changing the ring from the cruiserweights.
Yeah, he probably went out there as one of the ring crew and he just kind of snuck under the ring.
Because that was the previous match, so they had the time. They turned the house lights down, the crew goes under. Yeah, that's how we roll. So Luke arrives, Rollins takes him out with a big dive. Frog splash into an RKO. Bray Wyatt eliminates Seth Rollins. Down to Roman versus Wyatt's. Roman, you know, takes him all down. He's getting control. Odd sell by Bray from the Superman punch. He just went, like, limp.
Roman, is that where he did the somersault?
Yeah. Yeah, he just sort of went limp into a somersault. Yeah. Don't know why. Spear! No, Randy Orton eats a spear. Sister Abigail. Bray pins Roman.
Bray and Randy are the sole survivors. I'm so happy. Like, they actually gave Bray a thing.
See,
about
he
damn
can,
time.
He can win. Can win, huh? Huh? Told you. Told you all. He has a good record. Told you.
Points.
Told you. I had SmackDown, you had Raw, 8-Ball had SmackDown, video game had Raw. This was a really good match. I enjoyed it. It was the real main event.
It really was. This was the true main event of the show. This is like, you're sitting there watching it and you're like, oh wow, this is great. You know, this is going to be awesome. And, you know, you completely forgot about the super match, which we're going to talk about in a minute because this was so good. And it's like, oh, well, you know, the pay-per-view's over. That's great. Oh, wait, no. We still have one more to go.
And remember, this started, like, everything, the hype video started like at 9 o'clock for this.
Yep.
And this ended like a little bit after 10.
Yep.
So, it went 52 minutes. There you go. Main event time, 10:20 on your clocks. Goldberg, Brock, the Super Match, the Mega Match, Fantasy Meet turns reality. Bell rings. Brock brings Goldberg to the corner. Goldberg shoves Brock. Brock gets up. Spear. Brock's hurt. Second spear. Brock's really hurt. Jackhammer. 1, 2, 3 in 1:26. Goldberg.
This was where everybody went, wait, what?
What? What? Legit, we can sit here and say, we spent like 15 minutes going, what?
Did that just happen?
What?
Did that just really just happen? Like, it's like, so does that mean Goldberg can beat The Undertaker?
Right, right.
Does that mean Goldberg can pretty much beat the entire roster because, you know, reasons? Because Brock has murdered, like, the entire roster?
Right. I will say this, it was a great move, especially what we know now with Goldberg doing more matches and where they're headed.
Oh, yeah.
It was a smart booking move. It was a WTF moment that night, and it still is. But it was great. It was the outcome no one expected.
No one expected it, but that's okay because it was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth the shock and surprise because everybody was like, what?
What? What?
What? What just happened?
That was legit the feedback we got. What? What did we just watch? What? So, that was Survivor Series. I enjoyed the show. 8-Ball went 4-2. Video Game went 2-4. I went 3-3. You went 1-5.
A bad night.
See, you should listen to me more often.
No, never.
So, overall, decent show for you?
It was a good show overall for me. I mean, it's not anything where I'm going, wow, oh my god, this was the most epic thing I've ever seen. But I liked it. I did enjoy it. It just, for me, I'm not a fan of the Raw versus SmackDown thing. I understand they're trying to involve competition, and that's great. But I really just don't like it. I don't care for it. So this was a hard one for me to watch.
But you know what wasn't hard for you to watch?
Bray Wyatt winning.
Well, there's that. And SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown. Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Shane was on the show.
Which was shocking.
Very shocking. He was setting up everything going throughout the night. Dean Ambrose came out, brought out his little buddy. Shane had enough of Dean, told him to leave. Dean would leave and come back. One time he came back with a pizza. One time he came back dressed as a Mountie. And we'll tell you what he came back at the end in a moment. One of the things that Shane set up was giving James Ellsworth a contract. AJ disputed that. He thinks he should earn it. Ellsworth is like, okay, but I want a title match if I beat you. So they have a ladder match. Get to that in a moment. Other things on the show. It was announced that it will be Nikki Bella versus Carmella in an ODQ match at TLC.
Hey.
It will be The Miz defending the Intercontinental title in a ladder match against Dolph Ziggler for the last time. This is the last time they'll fight, thank goodness for that. We also had a tag team turmoil match with all the teams of SmackDown Live, which saw the American Alpha win. And they're going to TLC to fight for the tag titles. I want to get all the points because they're going to be Heath Slater and Rhino. Right? 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 Right?
Insert Wyatt Screech here, because nope!
But American Alpha, come on.
Nope. Bray, Randy, and Luke appeared on the big screen, and as American Alpha celebrated, Bray told them, you haven't faced everybody, and we'll see y'all next week. Side note, Luke still doesn't like Randy, but he tolerates him for Bray.
So Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton versus the American Alpha next week for the number one contendership at TLC. I had the points in the bag until Bray Wyatt said, I want to be tag team champion. I want to be tag team champion.
It's about time. He went for something. I mean, God, the child's been there for 3 years, and I think he's only had one or two title matches.
He's legit had one. He's been in legit one title match, and that was a fluke one because
Rollins got hurt.
No, it wasn't Rollins. It was Roman, wasn't it?
No, I thought it was Rollins when he hurt his knee.
No. Because Bray wasn't in that tournament because he fought The Undertaker. No, it was someone got hurt.
Was it Daniel?
It might have been Daniel Bryan. Yeah, it was when Daniel Bryan gave him the belt.
Because it was for a vacated title.
Yeah, after WrestleMania 30, when Bryan gave him the belt, that's the only title shot Bray had in the ladder match.
Right, because Seth won the Money in the Bank that year.
Right. So, that's the only Bray's only official title shot.
So, I mean, it's about time.
I know, I'm happy for Bray getting going after the belts, but it's like, my fantasy team is going to take a hit because Bray Wyatt wants the belt.
Hey, Boo Boo gets what he wants.
Takes all my points.
Boo Boo gets what he wants.
And gives them to you.
Damn right, like any good leader would.
That ain't kosher, yo.
It doesn't have to be.
Anyway, next week, we also learned at TLC, not next week, at TLC, it will be Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss for the title. No stip at it. Disappointed in that, but there's no stipulation as of yet. And then we had the main event. It was James Ellsworth versus AJ Styles in a ladder match. Dean Ambrose returned to save his little buddy, and he returned as an Ottawa Senator.
Called it.
So, AJ deserves an Emmy for this one performance. He got shoved out of the ring, he took a hard fall, comes back in the ring. Ellsworth with no chin music, gets his foot trapped in the ropes. Ellsworth climbs the ladder, pulls down the contract. Ellsworth once again beats AJ Styles and now has a future opportunity at the WWE World Championship.
Okay, first of all, how did Ellsworth get cleared?
He was hurt, he wasn't injured.
Dude had a neck brace and a back brace. How did he get cleared? Shane, I know you're pissed at D, but we need to talk.
Canadian health stipulations? I don't know.
Sure, deal with that.
Regulations, stipulations, whatever they are. Either way, fun SmackDown on Tuesday night.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really, really fun. You know, sad for the lack of Boo Boo, but you know, Mrs. Randy having the baby sort of throws a mop in that, which is fine.
It is fine. But that's it for the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble.
I would say we're done. So you got plugs, so plug away.
Next week on the show, we will be previewing Tables, Ladders, and Chairs for Back to Normal, 10 p.m. Eastern, Thursday nights. Oh, yeah. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Subscribe. 5 days of content. Monday Match Show. Raw Redo Tuesdays, My Journey Wednesdays, Throwback Thursdays, Fantasy Fridays. Subscribe now, youtube.com/Rack Radio Show. Saturday Night Midnight Edition, CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual, The Reign of the Jobber begins, or continues rather, Saturday night. We got things planned, holidays galore, you name it, CB Radio. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Go to CBRadioLive.com and buy the Jobber merch. El Presidente style. Oh yeah. Sunday, there is no WTR Sunday night. They're taking the week off. They'll be back live December 4th with Tables, Ladders, and Chairs review. We'll be back for the Raw Post Show Monday night, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And as mentioned before, right back here for The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll preview Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. The Rack Extra Total Divas Episode 2 will be available on Monday the 28th. Episode 3 will be available on December 1st.
Hey!
Got that? Got that?
Because I'll be back for my little holiday vacation.
So that's how things are going. So now you know the plan. That's the plans. All the fun stuff. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow Lindsay on the Instagram, Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show.
Are you stealing my plugs?
No, I added the plug.
You added the plug?
So Instagram, okay. I added the Instagram plug. Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show.
Follow the show on Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show. It's not my personal Instagram. Please don't follow me on my personal Instagram. I just post really random, stupid stuff.
Which you'll begin posting at Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show.
You don't want to see my nails? Nobody wants to see what my nails look like.
Maybe people do.
Email us, tweet us if you want to see what my nails look
Instagram
like.
Instagram message us.
No, don't, because I don't know how that works.
Anyway, plug your stuff.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the awesome sponsors, Gerwig.net, TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211. Follow the journey today. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us on the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Spectacular. We will be back next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. But till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.